Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this Wednesday evening. It is hump day. We've made it halfway through the week. So thank you guys for joining along as always. So one of the things that I was having a discussion with one of my colleagues is trying to figure out a way to integrate Instagram in what we do. Now, I do a separate thing on Instagram. Where it is behind the scenes. See, the hard part is that Instagram has their own rules and regulations that won't let us stream via a third-party streaming service. So that's why I do it a little bit separately. Now, I've done this before where I conduct an interview where I do have it live here, and then I invite my guest in there. But the problem is the same thing you did if you kind of have to, you have to control the audio volume. So you cannot have an open source, if that makes sense. If you're streaming on Instagram and then streaming the traditional way, which what I'm doing now. So I will work it out because we are having something going on Friday. We are putting together a summit that we're going to talk about a lot of social issues and, not a lot of social issues, the social issue that everybody's talking about right now. And of course it has to do with systemic racism and that sort of thing. So Friday is going to be a little bit different tone to the show, but I am looking forward to it. We do have a lot of guests lined up, so I will hope you will join us. I will start promoting this tomorrow, but, you know, that's one of the things that I just wanted to share, and maybe everybody out there will follow along Friday evening. We are looking to make a little bit of a difference and hopefully start to find a way to heal. So now that I got that out of the way, let's go ahead and start with all the particulars that I usually cover every single night. So guys, we are streaming live on YouTube. And if this is your first time watching us on YouTube, you can do us a favor. Hit the like and subscribe button. We are always trying to build our viewership as well. And then hit the notification bell as well. It will notify you whenever we do schedule new live shows to come on. And then whenever we do drop new content as well. So there's the link right there. I mean, there it is, guys, the website, if you www.youtube.com. And, www.youtube.com/ made from scratch broadcast on YouTube. So if you're watching it there, do us a favor and hit the like and subscribe button. I always appreciate everybody that does that. And then we're also streaming live, guys, on Twitter. So if you're watching us on Twitter, you can check us out at MFSB Live on Twitter. And that's just short for made from scratch broadcast live on Twitter. So we are streaming there via Periscope, and I know sometimes there's a little bit of difficulty watching on Twitter. I don't know why. I've tried to do that as well. I was trying to comment actually this afternoon on Mila Deschamps' live this afternoon. It was having difficulties. It might have been with my signal. I don't know, maybe, but again, if you're watching there live, do us a favor, hit the follow button. We always do appreciate that. And then, of course, we are streaming live on Facebook. You can check us out there, www.facebook.com/made from scratch podcast. A little bit different there. So if you do us a favor, hit the like button there. It'll also send you reminders whenever we do go live on Facebook. So if you're connected there and you do follow the Facebook page, you do get reminders whenever we do go live. So drop it down in the comments if you're watching there live. I always do appreciate it. And then you can also check me out on I stream also on my personal page on Facebook. So if you're connected with me there as well, at Gabriel Leal on Facebook, connect with me, send me an invite. I usually accept just about everybody, even the people who are trying to sell me insurance and, of course, the Forex exchange brokers, plenty of them out there. Those are the guys who are always, you know, spamming you a little bit. But again, so I accept them all anyway. So, and of course, we're streaming live on LinkedIn. So if you're following along, you can go to LinkedIn.com, just connect through my profile, and I will accept just about anybody again that sends a connection to me. So thank you so much, guys. If you're watching there. There we go. So now we got all the particulars out of the way, guys. And let's go ahead and get started with this evening's show. So my guest for the evening, right? She I actually met her through one of my other connections, Mr. Adam Posner. Or you know what? I actually think I met Rena right before I actually saw her that evening. He was doing his late night show, and for some reason she had sent me a connection, and then she was trying to connect me with somebody else and started having a conversation. And then at night I saw her on live with Adam, and I go, wow, I mean, what a coincidence. But, you know, she was on there live. I love what she was talking about, and, you know, very personable. So really funny. So I said, you know what? I want to have her on the show. So I sent her out an invitation on live, and guess what? She accepted. So I was so happy for that to happen. And then we had a really good conversation yesterday on Instagram, and I really love her persona. She's really cool. So guys, do me a favor and welcome to the show, Rena Friedman Watts. So hello, Rena. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing incredible today, now, especially now that you're here. So, you know, one of the things that I was telling, you know, everybody prior to I pulled you in here was the fact that, you know, the way that we connected was just like a big coincidence for me. But again, this is what I love about social networking and meeting new people all the time. It's just, you never know who you're going to run into. And then of course, seeing who else they're connected to. So that was kind of interesting. And then I saw you that evening on Adam's show, which was, if you still haven't seen it, guys, go check it out. That was a pretty interesting little evening that night. It was a really great time. He's doing another one. I know that he's planning. So shout out to Adam Posner so much about, bringing you on the show. And that was one thing that really sold me. I said, I got to have her on. And then on top of that, right, this is what I mean about social networking and everything about this. She is, she's been connected with somebody else that I'm really connected to who I really dig. And that's Mila Deschamps. And that was another one that was, I was like, what? You know, gosh, you know, yeah. Mila as well. Wow, that's awesome. Because, you know, I've really connected lately a lot with, so she's already saying it, right? Mila's like, Rena is awesome. You know, again, I get the same thing whenever I, you know, when I was talking to Adam about you, and he's like, man, she's great. Which again, I was like, okay, cool. And I started doing a lot of research on you. You got a very interesting little backstory. So before we jump into that, why don't we just, you know, kind of introduce yourself to everybody who's maybe not too familiar with Rena. Kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow. Oh my goodness. The pressure's on. I totally thought you were going to play some little music and that little hype man intro you wrote me. Okay. So I got my start in the television industry right out of college. My first job was the Jerry Springer Show. I worked for an NPR station in college and wanted to work in radio. I drove up to Chicago and interviewed at WGN, and I didn't get the job, but that same day I saw a flyer in the courtyard that Jerry Springer was looking for interns.
Oh, wow.
And so I walked over to NBC Tower. They were just catty corner from each other, and told them I had an interview with the intern coordinator, got through security, and ended up starting 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow. So, you know, that's really ballsy to go, you know what, I'm just going to go over there and say, I need a job, right? Walk in.
You used to be able to do that.
I know,
that's
right?
Really how I got my job at the radio station too. I wanted to work in radio. I walked into the radio station. I pretty much told them I wanted a job, and there was a lady that was leaving. And oh, wow. The timing worked out really well. I ended up working, you know, 5 a.m. shift. Yeah. And I worked on weekends, and I loaded the features, and it was pre-automation. So I was running the board manually, you know, putting on records and putting in CDs. And sometimes there was dead air and reading the news and the weather.
So that was like in the days of carts, right? You could actually, you'd have to use carts to upload. Oh my gosh.
You know.
Well, you know, I had a friend that kind of worked a little bit in late night. He was kind of like that. He was kind of like working to do upload all the stuff and clips and audio and all that stuff for a show late at night. So, you know, he would always kind of tell me the whole process, and I go, wow, that sounds, you know, it sounds kind of tedious a little bit. So like now they have everything's of course now digital, right? So much easier now, but again, that had to be quite a bit of work back then. I could see why they would want somebody to take care of all that stuff. And, you know, that's pretty, again, right place, right time, right?
So much of that. And I remember when it went digital and I got so excited because you could start recording your tracks.
Right.
Doing them on the fly.
Exactly, right.
And you were could like, practice reading the news story.
Right. Well, beforehand and going, okay, before I just hop on. So, okay, yeah, it's been a lot of changes. So, you know, because again, everything has, the technology just simply seems to be drastically changing year by year, you know. Things are no longer like they used to be. And again, one of the things that my friend Russ John always says is that, you know, nowadays you can be the media. You can actually go out and create just about anything you want to with a lot of the same technologies that a lot of these television stations and radio stations are creating. I mean, I have my own internet radio station. So, I mean, it is the software and now and how you can process everything. They make it so easy. It's almost like plug and play now.
Which and that's why I wanted to create my own show now. I've worked on so many shows. So after Springer, I moved to LA and took an executive assistant role to three producers. I worked for a special effects animation company and worked on Paramount's feature film Team America, then worked for 911 and VH1 and MTV and, you know, traveled with shows. And it was so much fun in my 20s. Then I got married, had three kids in 4 years, a couple corporate roles. And it's just, my dad's always wanted me to have my own show. And he's been kind of my go-to guy for business advice. My dad ran a company for 40 years and he's just been with me through all of these chapters, never been judgmental, you know. And so he's going to chime in on everybody that I interview. And I really think that his wisdom, you know, there's lessons there, kind of like the final thought on Springer. My dad's going to get the final thought. Yeah.
There you go. Right. So that's awesome though, that he, you know, he'll want it. He did. He wants to take out to, you know, be a part of watching you do, you know, create this. And again, it is now such that so many people can, again, here I am, right. You can do all this fancy stuff, that you can create now. And it almost makes it like, you can feel like you have your own show. I mean, I have so many things. Like, I should have played this for you. I had a clap in. That was for another guest. And it, Adam liked this one. I kind of have this one. It was like my own little breaking news sounder. So if something happens, you know, hey. So, you know, again, you can essentially just create your own little stamp on everything. And, you know, it's one of the best things for me that, of course, I tell everybody that wants to get into doing what I do. I said, look, the technology's there now. All it really has to do is figure out, you really just have to figure out what you want to say and craft your message. And then putting everything together, they've made it so simple. I mean, even the process of creating your own podcast, right? There's apps now like Anchor FM. So if you're not used to or familiar with Anchor, you can actually create your own podcast with your own telephone. I mean, literally. You know, it allows you a lot of, now again, it is limited in some of the things you can do. But again, if you just wanted to start a podcast and get a message out there, it's one of the easiest ways. You probably just need unless you're having guests on, you don't really need headphones. I mean, I've shown people that you can go to Amazon. They sell a little, it's like you can find these anywhere just about on Amazon. It's a little $8 lavalier mic that plugs into your phone, right? You got a mic right here that you can use to speak into pretty clearly, and you can record your own little podcast. I mean, you can make your own trailer and everything. So it makes it easy nowadays to do your own type of podcasting.
You can't edit on there, though, can you?
No, not through the phone. Now, on the desktop, you can. You can actually go back and edit some of your audio.
I didn't know you could edit on there.
Yeah.
So, premium feature?
I don't think so, but it allows you to add, like, segments, if that makes any sense. You can add segments, transitions, a few other things. Now, if you wanted to edit out, like, sounds and that sort of thing, you actually have to go use a secondary audio service like GarageBand or Audacity is what I use. But there's a few others out there. But again, that's if you're getting into, like, really serious sort of podcasting where you want to have a real clean finished product. But, you know, again, I tell everybody, work yourself up to that level. Don't try to start it right from the bat. Just start getting a few episodes under you to see, even if you like doing podcasting. I mean, some people, they say the magic number is six. If you can get to six episodes and keep going, you will still be able to continue doing podcast. And part of the problem is people will try it out and they go, you know what? I don't get a lot of followers. It's not that simple to just go, you know what? I'm putting audio out there. People, wow, here it is. Listen to it. It's really great. Even if it's the greatest audio that you can think of, if you do not have an audience, you have to slowly start building it up. And again, it works on you going out as well and promoting. And that takes a little bit of time. So even now, I have to promote the heck out of myself to get people to come and follow along what I do, because the hard part about what I do is I stream across multiple platforms. Now, it would be easier for me just to pick one and concentrate, but I want to be different. I want to attack it from just about every single angle that I can, because again, I don't know where I'm going to find that one person that I connect with. And that's why I want to spread the message. And I think it'll grow eventually over time. If I'm being, what they tell, you know, all the experts say, be consistent. I don't know how much more consistent I can be. I mean, I do it Monday through Friday, 5 nights a week. So I'm thinking
on top of working a full-time job,
on top of working a full-time job during the week. And then I have a second job on the weekend that I work with family with. And of course I have four kids.
Me too.
So it is hard sometimes.
Must have a good wife.
Oh yeah. She's super supportive. You know, I do sometimes have to bend over backwards for a lot of things to get this together. But again, she sees how passionate I am about it. And, you know, that's one of the one things that I've been lucky about is the fact that I have somebody that's really supportive of me, doing this. And it's very, sometimes there are days where it's very difficult. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to simplify the process as much as I can. So doing and concentrating on all the work to get done before the pre-show, so I don't have to go back and do a lot of post work. Because again, that's where people can get really lost. You can take a 30-minute clip and it'll take you 2 hours to edit. If you don't know exactly what you're doing.
I've been experiencing that.
See, and it can become very difficult. So what I do is, like, even if I pull audio or I pull video clips and I make little, you know, little small teasers that I can replay and put out and repurpose, I kind of pin what times that I was talking about it. So I don't have to go back and listen to a whole hour long conversation. I can go back and say, okay, this is what I thought was really interesting. I go back and I can pin what area I go to. So I can go there, cut it, clip it, put in an intro, outro, underground, little music together, and boom, I have a piece of repurposed content that I can go back and share. And it'll kind of lead people back to go check out a couple past episodes, or when I have somebody on who I think, you know, I would wish people to go watch that episode again. So it is a little bit of work. And I do try to, again, maximize. Oh, yeah, on top of that, I'm writing a book, so that's another thing that, on top of what I've been doing. So, you know, it is hard some days to put everything together. But if you're passionate about it, and like you said, if you love doing what you're doing, at some point you can look past all the work and everything that's going on, and you're just ready to go. I this is what I look forward to now every single day. Getting the opportunity to go, you know what, I'm going to get to talk to somebody this evening. And it's really interesting, the, you know, just the, all the little things that I've learned along this, this journey that I've had. And, you know, kind of like with you, I hope at some point to be in the right place at the right time, so that I, at one point I do want to really look at this and making into a career. So, but again, I digress a little bit. When I think about who I want to bring on and the guests that I reach out to, I like to do a lot of investigative work. Because again, I think that's the best way to have is to do research on your guest. I mean, that's the best, I mean, that's how you're really going to communicate and bring things out. Cause it's like, even when we had our conversation on Instagram, right? I had went and checked out a few other podcasts that you have been on. I had checked out, I do this with just about all my guests, because again, I like to go in there and delve deep into who this person is that I'm talking to. And, you know, that's one of the things that I was so interested about with how your journey has taken you to this point where I've seen like, you know, pictures and photos and all this stuff that kind of lays out the journey a little bit. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you wanted to start doing the whole podcast thing. You know, that's, you know, I know it's a hot topic. People say I want to do a podcast, but, you know, where did the actual concept to put all this together and say, you know what, I want to do a podcast and I want to include my dad. You know, that's something.
I co-hosted one with Sean Hervey and Greg Johnson a couple years ago, and I had so much fun doing that. I started out and I was just helping bring the guests to the show.
Hey, Wendy.
And then they asked if I wanted to start co-hosting it. And then I had a lot of fun doing that. And that actually led me to one of my biggest clients.
Oh, wow.
Her with the behind the scenes of her event, Kathy Heller. I helped produce her Dreamtopia event. There was about 350 people there. I got her sponsors for the event. I started booking her people on her, you know, top podcast. That led to working with other top podcasters and other sponsorship opportunities. But the podcast kind of went by the wayside. And then I was like, I should do my own.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I'm connected with so many people from so many different places. Oh my gosh, I've lived in Kentucky and West Virginia and Indiana and California and back to Chicago again. And I've kept in touch with people in so many places and from my TV days. And I just feel like I'm connected with people that their stories haven't been told. And I want to tell some of those stories.
Yes. And that's one of the best things about, you know, making these connections, right? At some point, these connections start to, again, I see it as planting seeds. Everywhere you've been planting seeds somewhere, making connections with this person, right? And at some point, those seeds start to blossom. So things start to come out of it. And you go, you know what? Again, hey, I can do a podcast, right? I know so many people that have interesting stories that need to get out there. So, I am all about somebody getting out there and, you know, sharing their story and building their voice. And because, again, once you get into it, right, and you found out that you loved it and you had a passion for it and you want to start doing it more and more. And, you know, again, what better way to do it? And then have your father be along there for your journey. I mean, that's
a total character. Where I get all of my quirkiness from.
Yeah. And
he's always wanted his own show. So I am going to give him some spotlight.
There you go. And again, it's you getting to be Rena. And again, you get to share what you love and what you're passionate about. And that's, again, that's what I tell everybody. This is your, you have your own little soapbox now to stand up and go, you know what? Hello, everybody. I'm Rena, and this is what I love, and this is what I want to share with you. And people will start being drawn to you. They'll draw, you know, you'll start drawing attention. You know, and the best part about this is the fact that, again, you don't have to go digging for all of these clients or all these guests, right? These are people that you already know. So when you start having these conversations, right, it's natural. You're going to be like, you know, I've known you for years. I'm having you on. We're talking. We're having fun. I don't have to struggle.
And I don't have to do as much research. The first guest I knew for 19 years, I hadn't caught up with her in a while. So it was very conversational.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that that's how I started my journey. I reached out to people who I knew and I was very comfortable with until I learned how to get my feet under me and how to connect with people. And again, at that point, then everybody became my friend. So I don't have, you know, practice. It's really what it is. Practice here. I mean, here is your episode 72. So I've done a few solo shows. So I want to say I've done about 65 of these with the guests. Some of these people I'm real familiar with. Some of these people I did build relationships prior to having them on, but not very long. And then some people are complete strangers, but yet I love the fact that I can have people on and just connect. And
I love the practice aspect of it as well. Like, I haven't been honestly doing enough research because I'm a mom of four and I have only the evening. My husband's working in the day, but I kind of like the spontaneous on the fly, ask them whatever comes to mind type of thing too. Like, I have a general idea of some things that I want to ask them, but I like just being able to roll with it.
Exactly. Right. So, and I structure it both ways because some people feel comfortable some ways and some feet do the other. So like what I sent you, right? I do send questions. Sometimes I've created questions and I don't ask none of them. we just have a free flow conversation. I mean, I did this with Brian Schulman. I mean, but me and Brian just had a 2-hour talk. It was just like, we kept going, talking about so much and everything that we were just connecting and going and going and going. And me and Brian had built a prior relationship. But again, some people just have the ability to turn on the camera and let's go, let's start talking. And then some people like to have a little bit of structure. And so that's why I do like 10 just general guiding questions in case somebody wants to come on who isn't as fluid in front of the camera. That way it kind of eases them into it. And once I have somebody on for about 10, 15 minutes and I can feel that they're relaxed and the stress of being on camera is no longer there, at that point we just have a good conversation. It's just a little bit intimate conversation between two people. And it's what I tell everybody. You come on.
When you start talking about the reality stars that you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, you know, and like what we're talking about, I think I've known maybe one reality star and then one celebrity that I've really met in my lifetime. So I've actually got to have a conversation with Kid from Kid and Play. So Christopher Kid Reed, I've actually met him. I got a picture with him and that was pretty fun. That was pretty cool. We had a beer. Here in Dallas, he comes to, there's a local radio station here that has this event every year. And somehow or another, he became a fan of that radio station. I think for the last 3 or 4 years, he's flown in from Los Angeles to come to this event that they have once every year. And I saw him out in the crowd and I went and said, "Hey, can I buy you a beer?" And he was like, "Yeah, of course." So I bought him a beer. We had a small conversation. I asked him for a picture and he said, "Yeah." And that was my first run in with any kind of,
Did you do the little foot?
I asked him too. He's like, I don't kind of do that anymore. Because again, everybody usually asks him to do that. He's like,
I love that you asked.
Yeah. Hey, because that was one of the things I was like, "Hey, can we do the foot thing again? That's super awesome." Right. And he's like, "Well, I guess that's like, trying to ask somebody like a musician or somebody play their hits all the time, right? They want to go, I want to play some of my new stuff or that sort of thing. So he was kind of, you know, but he was real polite about it, and that was awesome. So I got to take a picture with him, and that was pretty cool. And then I met Richard Hatch, of all people. He was on Survivor, I think the first season. We were at a mall of all places, and he was doing some kind of signing. So I just happened to stroll in, and he and it wasn't like there were tons of people at the table. So I was like, hey man, that's Richard Hatch. I've seen him on Survivor. So I went over to him, and then I said, hey, Richard, would you mind if I took a picture? He's like, well, I'm just doing a book signing. So I bought a book and had him sign it. But, you know, I really haven't got to meet too many people, but I've seen.
You're like, all right, buy your book.
Yeah, I know, right? Come on. But I think he's in a lot
sometimes, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think he's alive anymore.
I think
he's passed away. But and I don't even know what I did with the book. If that's kind of terrible.
But you got the picture.
I got a picture. Not like I was standing by the table with him, so I do have that. That was pretty fun. But you know, you've kind of met a few celebrities, right? You being connected with the Jerry Springer Show. I mean, Jerry Springer's pretty big himself.
I was the first celebrity, and truthfully, after working there for a couple years, I still had that nervousness around him, even though I was like telling him the guests that were going to be on the show and like the outcomes and who he was about to meet. Every time I got nervous, but I was like 21 years old, 22. I was a baby.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
I was backstage and, you know, running out in between commercial breaks and making sure they said everything they were supposed to say. And
yeah, right. And again, that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. Again, saying, hey, working with somebody like that, right? I mean, I always wondered what it'd be like to work with, say, somebody like Johnny Carson or Jay Leno, to be like their handler, who's their onstage production assistant, who has to handle all that stuff, right? That's got to be a pretty pressure filled job sometimes.
Because I was saying some prayers. A couple shows, I'm like, please God help me. I hope everybody goes out onto stage. I mean, sometimes I was getting calls in the middle of the night, like, your guests are hanging out windows at hotels. I'm like,
Oh, wow.
You know, or you're half of one story found the other half of the story, and the story's happening in the street, and you have to still talk them into doing the show the next day.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Or they're getting kicked out of venues, you know? Yeah.
So that has to be, I mean, oh gosh, why is his name slipping me? The big guy.
His bodyguard now. And it's funny, I worked on that trailer or the pilot. And, like, I never thought that would happen. It did. I mean,
yeah, right. I mean, I everybody who used to watch the show, you kind of knew who Steve was, right? You had to see him, of course. When
all the ladies were rubbing his head, and
right, and people would charge at each other. There he is, having to step in, and
they were chanting his name too. He was a personality,
right? So that had to be a different scene, because again, we don't really have anything like that anymore on. You know,
well, now he has his own court TV show.
Oh, wow. I mean,
yeah, so Jerry Springer ended, and now he has his own court TV show. It's funny because I worked in court TV for about 5 years. I worked on Judge Alex. I actually have a picture right here. Let's see if I can show you.
Oh, yeah, show me that. I want to see that. That's...
Okay, let's see. Can you see that?
Oh, wow, there he is.
Rena, great cases. Wow. So I was a stringer, where I went to the courthouses and pulled cases. And truthfully, that's kind of like the news junkie in me. I would go through hundreds of stories looking for a good one, you know? And my favorite story, I don't know if I've told this too many places, but it was at a courthouse here in Chicago. I actually worked at courthouses in Kentucky, in Indiana, and in Chicago. It was a great job while my kids were in preschool. I'd drop them off for 4 hours, go to a courthouse. You know, the cases in the small claims cases, I would dig through them, find the cases and upload them. Oh, wow. So my favorite story was someone was being sued for the wrong crossbred animal. They ordered a Z donk and they got a Z horse. So I didn't even know that people crossbred animals in this country. I was like, oh my God, we got to call them immediately. I like called from the courthouse. I was like, this is a crazy, awesome story. And then it, you know, leads you down the rabbit hole of like looking all of that up on Google.
Oh, wow. That's insane though, right? The things that people are going to go, I have to go see you, dude. You did not get, you're not giving me what I promised, right? I got a Z horse. That's not what I asked for.
I actually want to interview somebody who if you're listening right now and you know somebody who crossbreeds animals, please send them my way.
Right? Oh, wow. So I'm going to put a link up to where they can find you because that is insane.
I'm going to look back through my stories.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, and again, you know, I've seen, you know, as we're talking about going down the celebrity path, one of the things that I saw that was, when we were talking was you had mentioned, you met Gary Vaynerchuk. Now he's a pretty big lightning rod. He's a pretty big person now. So, what was that like meeting him? How is he?
That was a crazy story too. And another one of those, you know, right place at the right time type of things. I had worked for a financial firm for about a year and a half where I put on lunch and learns for financial advisors and CPAs and estate attorneys. And I had connected with someone on LinkedIn that produced large and small scale events.
Yeah.
Okay. Shauna Arnault and A Paste and Hustle. And I hired her to help me with one of those lunch and learn events. And then when she found out I left that financial firm, she hired me back. So she was putting on Generation Now in Toronto a couple years ago, 2018. And she said, I need help booking sponsors. I was like, well, I've never done that, but I bet I could.
Right. Again.
Yeah.
I'll take the risk. Let's go with it.
I had no idea how I was going to book a sponsor. No script, just a bunch of potential companies, right?
Yeah.
But I utilized actually a LinkedIn relationship. And I talked somebody in, you know, one of my LinkedIn connections into sponsoring. He wanted 5 minutes with Gary. He wanted to meet a couple of LinkedIn influencers. I made that happen. I met him in Toronto. I hopped 3 flights to get there. Spirit Airlines actually gave me a free ticket. So they sponsored too. And I was on my way. I was like, I hope, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen. It was the first time I'd ever been sponsored, the first time I'd ever been to Toronto. I didn't even know if they were going to meet me at the airport. You know, it flew into New York. It didn't fly into Canada. It was crazy.
Oh, wow. That's crazy though. I mean, but again, the risk reward, right? Just
yep.
Again, what's going to happen? You never know what's going to happen if you don't even at least take the opportunity, right? I mean, here you are saying I have no kind of experience, doing sponsorships. I have no kind of idea how to do this. And yet you still found a way to get it done. And then on top of that, bam, you got to meet Gary Vee. And you know, for some people, they spend a lot of time trying to do these sort of things, right? And they have the knowledge and they're still not able to get to that point because there's something that always holds them back. They don't want to take that one little risk that could open that door to opportunity. And
I do things scared a lot. Like when I was working for Kathy Heller, she asked me to be one of her accountability coaches for this high touch coaching program. I had never done that.
Right.
Yeah. 306 people to sign up. She's like, okay, here's your 60. I was like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur just like they are. I had, you know, 3 or 4 clients and, you know, I was a few steps ahead of them, but you know, I'm supposed to hop on a Zoom and coach 60 people and hot seat them. And I'd never been a part of that kind of, you know, she's like, here's a couple questions to ask. I'm like, I'll just be there for them and ask them like where they're at in their business and genuinely trying to help them. And I had so many people from that then want to work with me after and told me I was the best coach and right. relate with them, you know, and be 100% real and different situations that I had faced in business, share those.
Right. And again, it's you just being you and then people, again, that's what all I tell a lot of people is that if you can just be who you are with yourself and whether you're in business or you're just in a laid back environment, people will find a way to connect with you. You can place me in a room with 100 people and I would feel comfortable having a conversation with all 100. And you know, for some people, I understand it's very difficult. There's a lot of people who are introverts who just don't have the mentality. I get it. But again, I always tell them, have you tried to step out of, you know, here's Pat. Pat says, Rena is a great coach. So probably an ex-client of yours. So,
he was part of the program. Let me tell you, that guy, you want him on your show. He is a super engager. He is my number one.
Yes, and a great person. So there you go, Pat Ferran. Listen to that. Reach out. We'll connect, Pat. So
yes, he is a good one.
And again, I love, you know, having people who will take those sort of risks, right? You don't, I don't meet very many people in life who have done the things that you've done because, again, they always say, I should have done this. I should have tried, right? I should have went in for this thing. I should have went in for that. And, you know, I've been that person as well where I was like, I should have done that. But I'm at the point in my life where I'm ready to take whatever risk. And again, because again, if I fail, oh, well, I learned something. I think that's what a lot of people fail to understand is that if you fail, it's okay. Let's see. I'm too busy. Yeah. So Mike is like really one of those people who's too busy observing the room and learning from interactions instead of interacting with the people. That's the way you got to do it. But again, I think that when you go out there and you can take that opportunity and run with it, that's when the greatest things in your life happen. Because again, you're opening yourself up to failure. You're opening yourself up to being vulnerable, to not being successful. But guess what? What if it works? Right? I mean, you're kind of walking. You're proof of what happens if you just go and say, you know what? Can I get this job? Can I go do it? I mean, I hear stories about that all the time. How did you meet with this person? Well, I wrote them a letter. Really? I mean, have you ever heard the story of that Sarah Blakely has told about how she got involved with Spanx, right? How she got into Neiman Marcus. That is incredible.
Yeah.
She said, I went and made a phone call. Right. I just took the risk of saying, you know what, because so many people said, you can't get in there. People had told her before, there's no way. You're not going to be able to meet who their purchasing agent is. They're just too busy. There's no way. She made a phone call. She got the person on the phone. And boom, before you know it, she had a meeting. The rest is history. She's a billionaire.
I will say, though, that sometimes the sky only opens up for a second. Like sometimes I've had wins that I can't replicate.
Of course.
The thing is, though, is that it's a similar formula with other people. So you might have a win with one that you can't repeat, but then you might have a win with someone else the same way.
Exactly. And again, it's about taking that putting your foot in there, that one moment, that 1 second, and taking the opportunity.
And you can try again and you can continue to relationship build. And here's another thing. I think you should relationship build all the time and create relationships before you need them. So you're not just reaching out to people with an ask.
Yeah. And you know, and again, it's all about what what, you know, again, taking the opportunity when it's presented to you at that moment. So there's so many stories out there. I mean, there's a gentleman who was from the area here in Dallas. His name is Zane Gazzini, and he works for Gary Vee now, but there's a video of him. He was at a conference here in Dallas, and he essentially asked Gary for a job, and Gary said, okay, you want a job?
I met him at that event, and what's so funny now is that I've tried to reach out to Gary, and the tables have completely turned.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, small world.
Yes.
And just simply by, again, being at the right place, right time, and taking that opportunity. Because, again, if you don't step up to that mic in that moment and say, hey, what do you want out of life? I want a job with you. And he says, okay, what are you going to do? You have to at that point say, you know what? Bam, I'm gone. I got to take that risk.
And be nice to everyone.
Exactly, right? Be courteous. Be yes. So it's always about building and bridging. Building and bringing value.
A good story too. I was working in casting for America's Got Talent. And I presented a couple options that I thought were good. And was told that one of them wasn't good at all. About 5 years later, the producer who I was working for ended up serving sandwiches at that other person's event. She's no longer a producer. Yeah.
Wow.
What? That is some craziness that I witnessed. You just never know.
Oh, right.
And it's so interesting to see. And even people that I worked with that were production assistants and secretaries, some of them are now executive producers.
Right. I mean, that's why I think I said planting those seeds and letting them just sow. And again, taking the time from time to time to reach out to somebody that you're connected with in your network, right? You don't have to talk to that person every single day, but you know what?
What's going on with them? What's new? That's it.
Right. And again, there you go. Boom. You spark that interest again, and they're talking again. And then at some point they might go, you know what? Hey, Rena, I need to reach out to you. There's something I want to talk to you about. That's how a lot of things open up.
Like, you know, now I'm working with a best-selling author, an international best-selling author, and I'm helping her get blurbs for her book. So I reached out to top podcasters that I know, and I'm like, hey, do you know anybody that's in this space? I'm constantly telling people what I'm up to because somebody might know someone.
Exactly. It's
letting people know, like, your relationship builders and your connectors, like your other super connectors, you got to know who those people are. Because every project that you're working on, they probably know somebody that could be of value to you.
That's right.
Adam? Yeah.
Right. Like,
that guy know what you're up to, because he's probably going to know somebody that could be good for it.
Yeah. And if you don't know this guy right here, Mike Padurano, he is one of those kind of behind the scenes super connectors. He's one of those people. All right,
Mike. I'm going to be saying hello.
Yeah. So, listen what he says. Treat the janitor and president the same.
Yep.
Right. That is the exact thing of why I connected with him very early on, and we really had a really good connection. And again, he's brought me so many interesting people because he knows what I'm about, what my form is. And I'm open to anybody. I'll have a janitor on. If you're a janitor, guess what? This is the show for you. I will find a way to make what you're doing.
I want to have a janitor on.
Yes, right? Because again, it's not just
about. I want to know what's the craziest thing that they found in the trash can,
right? Or what's been the biggest thing they found in the toilet? What are those kind of things that go on in life? Because again, that's something that I find so interesting about everybody. Because again, everybody I know, doesn't matter if you're again. I was talking to a young man. He was a horse wrangler. Horse wrangler, right? Well, how do you get that job? I mean, you don't find that in a newspaper, right? You're not like, hey, I'm going to go apply for this job as a horse wrangler, right? No, you go you get the connection from somebody else that, you know, I know somebody in a 4-H club somewhere, they're looking for a horse wrangler, right? And, but again, those kind of jobs are listening about what they talk about and how, again, what they do. It's always interesting to me because, again, everybody's got a job. Everybody serves a purpose. And the one thing that I, more than anything, say, you know what? You never know where that next person, that next great person is going to come from. It could be the janitor. It could be somebody. I mean, you know, there's so many. I mean, I had a gentleman on. He was an ex-football player. Marquise Ogden, and he told his story that he had to take a job as a janitor, right? How many people did not know while he was working as a janitor that he was an NFL player, ex-NFL player? Probably a lot. They didn't know that about him. They just knew him as a janitor, and now he's sitting there serving as an executive coach to a lot of CEOs and that sort of thing because he went out and worked and changed his life. But again, he was a janitor. Okay, but you never know where that next really great person you're going to meet, where you're going to meet them at. And
how many jobs have you had?
Right. Oh, tons over my career, at least 15 different jobs, you know? Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know, I tell so many people, right, if you take the common courtesy just to get to know somebody, you don't know how much that will stretch for you somewhere down the line. Because I've started doing this, and so many people that I connected with early on my journey, they've helped me out so many ways. Kind of getting me in with certain people. Hey, do you want to talk to this person? Yeah, why not? I want to hear what they have to say. Cool. Invite them on. Right.
I had a 2-hour phone call with someone last night and got one email that I needed.
One, right? And that's what you were looking for. And that's, again, that's all you need is just, again, but you took the time, right? Out of that 2-hour conversation, even if, this is the thing, even if nothing came out of it.
Totally.
I had a really great.
He was a super connector that I knew, probably knew one of the 5 people on my list.
Exactly. And even though it might have not been at that moment, what if 2 months down the line he says, "Hey, yep. Marina, guess what? Sent you an email out of there, and you know, I can get you to somebody now who you want to get connected with. Here's their email or whatever it is, right?"
And I gave him 2 also.
Yeah, and that's how it works.
On the phone with him, I'm like, "Let's craft the email together."
Exactly, and it's again, that's just the whole thing about making these connections, and then again, building relationships. I think that's where it's the really strong point is just, again, not dropping in the instant, hey, I'm a quote unquote Forex trader. Are you interested in buying cryptocurrency? I'm like, oh, yes, I am. Tell me about it. Yeah. Tell me about it. Right. And just to hear what their pitch is.
Oh my God, I've gotten 3 email sequence from Northwestern Mutual. How many times?
where they just send you.
I noticed we're connected with some of the same people, and I haven't heard anything from your from the last 2 messages that I sent you. I'm like, I'm just gonna see how many you're gonna send.
Right. You know.
If you break from the sequence, I might give you a response.
Exactly, and like one of the things that I've I seen somebody else do this, so I started doing it. Did it a couple times where I said, you know what? I would send them a message back and say, hey, you know what? No, I lost my ass in cryptocurrency trading. I don't do that anymore. I had to take a job as an insurance salesman. Are you interested in term life insurance? I can get you a really good 15-year good term life insurance policy, very affordable if you're interested. Let's have a conversation. And then they go, never mind. Have a good
one. Life insurance license, by the way.
Right? I studied that.
Certificate I hold that I don't use.
I studied that as well because I thought it was just interesting, right?
It's good to have a background, so at least you can ask the right questions.
Yeah, no, right. So that's kind of like how I approach it now whenever I get
spam.
Pretty much some of these people, and some of them, they do have a unique approach. I will tell them that.
You like to find out how you can make tax-free income.
Yeah, whatever it is to get in, just to entice you a little bit. So with those, I will at least go, yeah, tell me a little more, right? I know where the conversation is going, but again, I know if I have to, I can always just say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. I always try to give them the insurance line now. That's one of my favorite ones to do, is to tell them, hey, I lost $10,000 in cryptocurrency, but you know, I'm working an insurance job now because of it. Do you want insurance? I always try to use that now. And you know, I actually had somebody kind of interested in it. That's one of the interest, the things that I was like, oh crap, what if he does want a sale, you know? So that's, he's like, funny. Hey, send me information.
I tried to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring an event I was working on. I'm like, you know, there's no insurance companies yet that are sponsors, and there's 2,500 entrepreneurs in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Like, what type of events do you guys sponsor?
But again, this is what's so fun about being able to connect with folks. You never know what you're going to get. What I've had so many, again, people just drop in a direct message.
Or can you Ed Mylett?
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. You know, I've actually got somebody who can actually connect me with Ed Mylett. So I'm like, yeah, tell me more about it. I would love to hear it.
I tried to message him and ask him what he thought of life insurance. or tax-free income or what.
Right? That's another one.
He certainly isn't talking about that anymore.
No. But you think about all the things that that people, again, some of these people are pretty creative. I'll give them that much. And for that, I will take at least 5 minutes out of my time to at least entertain whatever is going to end in them not making a sale, but I will at least entertain it. Because again, I never know. Some of these people are real, and then some of these people are just like you can tell they're just running out of Nigeria. And again, they have no kind of profile. They have no kind of anything. And then here they are dropping into your direct messages.
Do you connect with them just to get more followers?
You know what? There's some of them that I don't. I don't have a large following anyway. And if I see that somebody has no kind of like background, so I'll at least I'll click the profile and see. And if there's like no pictures, no kind of about or nothing about them.
And they have like 4 connections.
Yeah. Never mind. Thank you. But no thanks.
Recently have found out about, I mean, I guess I always kind of knew, but I just didn't know how many influencers are paying for growth on Instagram.
Yeah, do you know, I've had like 5 or 6 people
reach out to me. Instagram companies that like are making a killing.
Oh my gosh.
People will pay for that just to, and it's all bots, but what's your thoughts on that? Just looking more credible.
Exactly, right? To get I have 20,000 people that follow me. Man, I'm like, I'd rather have what my numbers right now, I think on LinkedIn, I only have like 3,800 people. But out of those 3,800 people,
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. But compared to what I do every day and being out there in the public, there's people that have 10, 20, 30,000, 40,000 who have this huge followings, right? It's taken me time to get just to get to 3,800 people. Right. And a lot of these people I've had personal conversations with, at least to say hello and that sort of thing. So this growth is not super enormous. But again, I tell a lot of people that, you know what, it's about the quality. I mean, here I am. I'm still connected with I'm connected with a lot of really upper tier people who do a lot of creative things, like getting connected with somebody like Adam, right? Adam's a perfect example. You know, he knows a lot of people himself, but one of the ways that I got connected with him was just by reaching out and asking questions and being engaged in the conversations that he has and a lot of his live shows and that sort of thing. So that's how I got
him first.
Yeah. And I just, what I always used to bug Adam about though was about podcasting and learning about how to do podcasting and learning how to do, video streaming. And one of the things he would always tell me was, of course, he would say, "Hey, I'll talk to you after the show. I'll send you a message, whatever." And that's how we really got connected.
Beth just said, just like this post, connect with everyone who posts on it. That's so true. And I think not everyone does that enough.
Yeah, I know, right?
People that like a post that, you know, I'm going to be on something. I'm like, hey, you know, I'd love to connect with you, whether you're there or not, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and what I tell everybody on there, hey, you want to connect with me, send me a message. I will more than gladly accept and just have a conversation with you. I've had tons of conversations with people, and it's not even stuff that leads to coming on the show. It's just things that they want to know about me or what I do with how I create all of this. And I share that with them. Because again, I love helping people help find their own voice, because later on down the line, those people will always, they're going to start connecting and saying, you know what? I learned from Gabriel, go over here and connect with him. He is, you know, a really great person. And I know that by helping people out and paying it forward that way, I mean, it's going to pay more dividends down the line than just having somebody, you know, again, if I just coldly said, you know what, I don't accept people unless they're potential clients. I think that's shutting the door to something that could really open up for you later on down the line.
Have you gotten opportunities unexpectedly through LinkedIn? Things that
I have recently.
Yeah.
People have reached out to me, and but you know, I question whether or not it's going to fit into about what I want to do going forward. If it serves a need that's going to help me grow this thing and make it into something where it becomes my career and I get to help people all the time, then yes, I am all for that. But if I'm just chasing money, that's not what I'm about.
You said that because I've had to distance myself from some of that also.
That's one of the harder things to have to think about whenever you make these decisions is, am I doing it for the right? Yeah. Am I doing it for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. I've learned from experience that chasing the money only puts me in situations and spots that I don't like.
I've realized that in more than one vertical.
Right. So, you know, I've had jobs that were higher paying.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
And I was miserable as fuck. I dreaded, I mean, so much so that I would dry heave before having to go to work.
Wow.
Because it's your body telling you, get the fuck out of there. You're in a bad spot, dude. This is not what that. Yeah. And eventually I got out and found another paying. It might not have been the same pay, but guess what? I was a lot happier.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, you know what? For me, it's going to be about the happiness factor. And that's what matters to me. And if the right situation comes along and it helps me, you know, that's going to be something that aligns with what my purpose is now.
Yep.
I am all for it. Believe me. If it helps me get into this and make it a career, I will do it. But if it's just to do it for the love of money, I'm done doing that. I'm done chasing that.
Funny because I talked to a podcast producer recently and he told me before I launched my podcast, I should try to get on bigger podcasts to promote mine. And I was like, I don't even know if that's really my aim.
Right. I mean, so Adam's like, sup, people. Yes, go put Nina to bed, my friend. Love you, Adam. You're the best. But again, you know, that's the thing that I talk about a lot is that what is it going to make you happy? And I think that's what
I've also been told to buy followers to look more credible.
Again, that's like just getting into pods as well and trying to get people to help you grow your network. I've been asked and I've turned down people, and that's not what I'm about.
But you get genuine feedback when you don't do that. Like, if you have a post that does well and you didn't post it in a pod, you're going to know that it did well because it was quality. If you post something that sucked, you're also going to know.
Yeah. And again, that's how you're going to tell whether or not, you know, you're really being genuine, authentic, and people are really connecting with you. And that's what I shoot for, is for just to be, like you said, if I'm out on the streets and you meet me, this is me being me. There's nothing else that I know how to do. There's nothing else I intend to do except be this person. But I know for me going forward and building what I'm building here, my purpose is, I think, on this, to help share this with a lot of other people. Because again, I have guest hosts now where I'm introducing people to guest host my own show. I'm just technically producing it. I tell them, you know what? You come on, you be the host, you do the interview. I'll just create all the everything for it. I'll do the machine behind it, the pub, whatever else it takes to go along. Do you
have a cool background?
Huh?
Do you have a cool background?
Yeah. I mean, well, this background, I do my own. That's actually a vinyl background that somebody built made for me because we had a connection.
Wow.
I didn't pay for that. So
nice.
Sherry Lawley, if you're watching, if you don't get the chance to, thank you again so much. I'm ever so grateful because that stands behind me every show now.
That is so cool.
Because she made that for me. And that is, for me, my way of saying thank you very much every day. So if everybody sees that, that's who made that for me. Did not ask. She asked me one day for my address. I sent it to her, and that shows up on my doorstep one day. And
that is weird.
Yeah, super awesome. She's one of those people, again, that is a super connector that works in the background. She is one of those people that just, you know, I don't have to be the forefront. I don't have to be center stage, but I can get you in connection with the people that you want to get connected with. And that's what I love about what I do here. I've met quite a few of these people in my world, and they make what I do so much easier because they bring, I guess, to the point where they bring people to me because they think they'll know. I'll have a real conversation with them. And guess what? If I don't have a thing where you say, you know what, you're not going to fit on my show. I tell everybody fits on my show. You bring them to me, I will put them on. We will have a story. I mean, this gentleman right here, David, was started out. He didn't know a lot of people, didn't know too much about social media, but he said he had a story that he wanted to share.
We just recently connected too.
Brought him on my show. We talked. We had a conversation ahead of time. And I told him, David, I'm going to help you build your voice and build your journey and get going. And
That's awesome.
And there he is now, where he's out there connecting with folks and doing this sort of thing. And I told him, that's how you're going to do it.
Yep.
I just told him, be real, be authentic. And tell these people that you connect with and you engage with what your story is and why you want to share it. And people will find it interesting. Just keep doing that. Before you know it, even though you might not be comfortable, you will get comfortable doing it after a while. If you keep doing it over and over again, you know, I tell people, and this is why I tell people all the time, I had no experience in this. I had no interview skills. I had none of this when I first started. I always tell everybody, if you want, go to my first episode, see how much I sucked. I did. It was terrible. Bad lighting, me sitting in front of a white fold-out table in my garage with the white sheet behind me and one set of light and a camera. And it's just me started talking. And that's how all this started.
I need some better lighting too.
Well, these are things, of course, you learn. you learn along the way. But again, if you're talking about video, you got to work on that. You know, you've been in the business. You know how gaffers and how they work the lighting and everything else that goes along with it. It's a lot of, that's a one big part about the industry that they really take seriously, is making sure they have the right lighting whenever they're filming. You know, some directors are super, super, super concentrated on having the right kind of lighting whenever they film. So
my podcast is just audio.
And again, if you're doing just audio, right, you got to concentrate on message first,
yeah,
then work on the sound. So if you got a real good message and you know what you want to talk about, what you want to share, you just have to go out there and start doing it, and then start learning all the small little technical things about doing it. And
do it, Dave. He said he wants to be on my show.
I would love to be on your show. This is the one thing that I'm learning how to do myself, right? I've had plenty of people on my shows. The only thing I haven't done is, you know what? I haven't been on a lot of other people's shows. So,
really?
So I'm starting to open myself up to doing this and go, you know what? Podcast. Let me separate that. Live streams. If you have a live stream, I tell them, send me a link. I will jump on in a heartbeat. I've been on so many other people's shows on live. So live streaming is my first love. But I always tell them, if you have a podcast, invite me. I would love to be on your podcast as well. Because again, I have my own podcast. I'm recording I do a separate podcast on mental health.
Oh, cool.
And that's just what I share. And I'm actually doing one this evening after I get off of here with my co-host. And but it's one of those things that I love learning both forms, because podcasting was my original idea. I didn't know I would love doing live streaming and being in front of a camera. I was always camera shy.
I'm shy.
You know, believe it or not, I did not like cameras. So it's taken me quite a bit to get to this point to feel comfortable talking in front of a camera. And mm-hmm. the next step for me is to do live on stage.
I always wanted to work in radio so I could just not be.
If I had the opportunity to work in radio, that would be like a dream job for me, because again, I just love to talk. I can sit here day long if you let me. I've done solo shows where I talk for an hour and a half, right? And again, it is me getting to share myself. Man, who cannot talk about themselves? I mean, if you can't talk about yourself or even life, right? There's so many things that you can interesting that you can go out there and talk about and have conversations. And again, all you really have to do is just have a microphone, or not even a microphone, just open your mouth, start talking. I started learning how to do this, preparing myself to do like audio podcast. I would just talk in my vehicle at work by myself for like hours on end, to start to have a conversation with myself. Now, people probably thought I was nuts, seeing me do that. But again, that was practice for me, because I wanted to, again, start going out there and doing, creating a message and sharing myself with the world. And it's led me to this point. And I am so grateful every single day for everybody that I get to connect with, and everybody who comes and watches the show and participates, because again, they drive me to keep wanting to do more, to learn more, to keep wanting to build a better experience. I don't know how much better I'll get, but I got to keep trying, at least learning, and see what I can do to make it and create and test limits. And that's what I'm about now.
That's why I want to do a podcast as well. I want to get better at interviewing. I enjoy interviewing. I want to find some crazy stories.
You know, and one of the things
news junkie in me,
one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that, like, the movie industry, because I have a passion for that. I wanted to create either a podcast or a video show just talking about movies in general, screenwriting, the production side of all of that. Because again, that's where I really started to learn how to be creative. I used to do screenwriting a very long time ago. Nothing very major. I did inter competitions with me and my younger brother. We used to write scripts for short stories. We used to do a lot of script competitions. That was sort of our first love, because we got infatuated with Quentin Tarantino, and he was the one that really set us on fire to want to go start doing these things. When we first saw Pulp Fiction, it blew our mind. We said, oh my gosh,
I love that film. Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, everything about that thing, everything about the characters, everything he wrote about him. Why is his name slipping my mind now? He had a co-writer for that one who doesn't get credit for it. Even though if you go on
Weinstein film.
Now the Weinsteins were a big part of how he got into.
Yeah.
Because
I met Harvey Weinstein. I have a picture with him, which is probably worth something now.
Yeah, right. You know,
the only one that went to the head of this, you know, philanthropy event and asked if he would take his picture with me.
See, Rena's. That's why I named this episode "Risky Business."
I was actually surprised because I met him at like a Jewish Federation event.
Of all places, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but again, the whole thing that when you're in that moment, you're not thinking about all the stuff that guy had done in the background. You're like, oh, that's Harvey Weinstein. You know, so.
Films he's been a part of.
Yeah, that's Miramax. That's
right.
That essentially Miramax and finding Quentin Tarantino were two big integral parts of them growing that business because, you know, they were the independent studio or production division that, or whatever you want to call it, whenever they first started doing those movies and finding those guys out there, him and Robert Rodriguez and all these other independent directors, writers who created their own stuff, right? Miramax was a big part of them growing that franchise. And of course, look what happened. I mean, you didn't know all that, but that was like, you just never know.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, the entertainment industry is full of that.
And I'm sure there's stories out there that nobody's going to tell.
Yes.
About all of that. But that's why I want to do a whole a podcast or again just a show about talking about it. I mean, I had a
up.
Yeah, because again, there's so many interesting stories about it in the background, and that's what I love about it is, you know, how the from idea to concept to how movies actually made. That's what interests me about the whole process. Because there's
well, from the intro that you wrote me, I was like, wow. Yeah.
Well, but again, that's me wanting to be a writer. That's me being my part of me, my heart and soul as wanting to create. And that's always been inside of me since I was young. I used to draw comic books. My own little comic book, Hugo the Mouse was the name of my character that I started drawing. And I think I was 13. And it was, you know, it was just me writing stories about, they were really about my life and aww, just talking about my brothers and all of the things that would go on in my little circle. And that's what I would write about. And
do a children's book too.
You know, I've thought about that. I wish I could, my mother had a lot of this stuff whenever my parents got divorced, of some of the small little books that I had. I don't know if she has them anymore, but I would love to see if I could find them, because again, he was just part of what I wanted to create when I was so young, because I wanted to have my own comic book. I was like, I was infatuated with comic books as a kid. We used to read them all the time. We didn't have TVs and we didn't have all these huge things like Netflix and Hulu where we could just go plop in front of a TV. I used to read. That's how I had to keep my mind and be creative. So that's what I've always wanted to do since I've been a kid. So, but again, you know what? It's okay. I've had a great evening, had a great chat with you. You know, and you don't really realize it, but we've been on for an hour and 20 minutes.
And so, probably go like another hour.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I always love having these conversations, and I could keep talking for, if I didn't have to tell some people tell me, hey, I gotta go, I gotta wrap up. Okay, cool. I'll let you go.
It's gonna be dark in the background.
So I'm going to go ahead and end it because I do have a podcast I got to get recorded here in a little bit. But again, I loved our conversation, Rena. I thank you so much for coming on the show, and let's stay connected.
For sure.
I love the fact that I get to build and meet new people and have a new network every single day. So awesome. Guys, if you're not connected with Rena, go to LinkedIn, type in Rena Friedman Watt and send her a connection. Tell her I sent you. And, you know, she is one of those people that will don't be a, let me preface that. Don't be a Forex trader, number one. And number two, if you send somebody a personal message, please write something saying that, hey, I saw you on social show. I would love to connect with you. That's one of my put offs all the time. It's just make it personable. And most of the times, a lot of people will love to connect and you know, accept your invitation. So, guys, connect with Rena on Facebook. And then again, just to everybody who has followed along on the show this evening, thank you so much, guys. You guys make it worthwhile. Of course, Mila. I love Mila. She's super awesome. She is one of the most down-to-earth people. I'm having her on my show Friday. And then, of course, yeah, so Kenneth, thank you. David, of course. Pat Foran, thank you. I will connect with you. Rena says you need to be connected with, so I will. Of course, Carl Williams, thank you again. We will have a coffee, my friend. We're supposed to have a coffee pretty soon. And then, of course, Beth Crosby, she's been a regular follower as well. And then, of course, this guy right here, I think you might know him, Adam Posner. I always got to say it right. I always do that. And, of course, Barbara Campbell, thank you guys so much for making this show so much fun. And everybody that's been watching, of course, on Facebook as well, you guys make this worthwhile every single night. And I am so appreciative of you, all the gratitude in the world for following along and helping my journey. So again, thank you, Rena, so much. And we will talk again soon. Just hold on one second. I'm going to end the show and I'll just have a few words with you. Okay. Thank you guys. You have a good night and I'll talk to you again tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. My guest tomorrow will be Kai Torrance. We will talk about, her restorative yoga and healing, because this country needs a lot of healing right now, and I will want to cover that subject. So thank you guys so much. Y'all have a great evening. Stay safe. Stay positive. Love, peace, harmony, compassion. We need that right now, guys. Share it with your fellow neighbor. Bye-bye, everybody.